Welcome to the Mindset Go podcast. I'm your host, Brandon. In each episode, we'll discuss a topic that I hope will help us become the best versions of ourselves through improving our overall mindsets. Let's get into the podcast. Yo, what's up, everybody? Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Mindset Go podcast. We had about two episodes already for this new season. First one, we were talking about resume and eulogy, just kind of which one are you living for. And then next episode, we got into a discussion or a conversation with Robert, which I feel is a very great interview. Good chance for everybody to see how other individuals handle adversity, how they, you know, get through things, and just how others' mindset is all around, man. I believe it was a good few episodes. So if you haven't checked those out, please go listen to episode 14 and 15. And yeah, man, just let me know what you think. We're going to get into today's episode, which is titled Money on My Mind. Been thinking about money, so, you know, why not talk about it? You know what I'm saying? So, really, we're going to just discuss money management in this episode and just discuss some tips that will hopefully help some of us reach our financial goals that we set out and just kind of help make things a little easier for us. But yeah, man, some stats that I came across from certain researching and studying for this episode is from Capital One, and they talk about 77% of Americans feel anxiety and stress about their finances. 77%. And 58% of Americans said that their finances control their lives. You know, the 58% of us said that, you know, my finances decide what I'm going to do with my spouse, what I'm going to do with my kids, what I'm going to do with my friends, what I'm going to do by myself, 58%. And that's a lot. That's a lot of Americans. 77% is a whole hell of a lot. 77% of us stress out and have anxiety when it comes to talking about our money. Like, that's crazy. That's unheard of. You know, and with this type of stress and anxiety, it's no wonder that so many of us struggle with finance. So many of us find it hard to, I wouldn't necessarily say get ahead, but find it hard to actually just feel like we're keeping up. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I feel that it's important to discuss these tips and just get it on the podcast. Hopefully we can get somebody on track. I know it's going to help me. It's helped me just studying it. So, yeah, hopefully we can pass it on. But what is money management? You know, I'm glad you asked that. Money management is or revolves around an individual or group's ability to manage money efficiently and manage it efficiently enough to where it yields the highest return possible. And with money management, it's going to come down to like budgeting, investing, saving, and even spending. And with that being said, man, these seven tips are going to cover those few things and, you know, hopefully give us some direction. So we talked about budget. Our first tip is going to be making a personal budget. And getting a personal budget together, I feel, is very important. It points us in the right direction. It's our first step to bettering ourselves, building healthier money habits, and really just learning more about ourselves as far as what we spend, what we don't spend, what we're actually saving, what we're actually bringing in. So the first step in making a personal budget is going to be adding up our monthly income. And that's not just the salary that we bring home from work, but any additional income that we may have in a month, whether it's our side hustle, our second job, whatever the case may be, we're going to add all these together. And then next step, we're going to add all of our monthly expenses. And your monthly expenses are going to be bills that you pay for housing, your food, student loans, and transportation. And as far as like what I mean with housing, of course, your electricity, internet, whatever the case may be. You're going to add up all those bills and even your subscriptions. We're going to add all these together and see what number that we get. There are going to be some things that aren't going to be the same amount every month, like our food or utility bills. You know, those kind of range depending on the month or the time of year. So with those, you'll just take an average from previous months and then just take that average and add it together. So once we get the total, we got our monthly income, our monthly expenses, we're going to subtract those expenses from our income, and the result is actually going to give us the starting point for our budget. This is going to be what we have left to save, what we have left to pay on additional debt faster. You know, this is kind of gives us a picture of where we stand. And don't be alarmed if this number is low. If it is low, that just means we're gonna have to go back through those expenses and see what we can actually cut out. See what we can limit as far as like subscriptions, eating out, any unnecessarily monthly expense. Like I said, if this number is too low for you, or if it's even negative, you know, some of us may look at our expenses and be like, damn, I'm paying more than what I'm even bringing in. And that can be an eye opener for sure and tell us, you know, we're not getting ahead because we're biting off more than we can chew. That's a little saying my mama used to say to me all the time, you biting off more than you can chew, you better settle down. But yeah, our personal budget is, like I said, the starting point in building those healthier habits, getting in the right direction. And I want it to be, or not want it to be, I want you to think of your personal budget as something that you look at often, something that's going to continuously change, especially as you pay off debt, as you cancel this subscription or whatever the case may be. It's going to be something that's forever changing and something that's going to need your continuous attention. So step one, or tip one, is going to be make a personal budget. Tip number two is going to be track our spending. There's been so many times, especially with me growing up, as I'm getting older, that, you know, I may see $300 in my account, or may have saw $300 in my account and was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this, that, and the other, and then look up, my account's negative $15, and I have no idea where that money went. So tracking our expenses can be a great habit to have and can help us with overspending. You know, that's kind of a lot of our problems. Is we, like I said earlier, we spend more than what we actually bring in. And keeping track of this can be great in finding out what we need to cut back on, or finding out what we need to stop doing. And you can keep track of this, of course, different ways, especially, you know, now how technology is. There's all kinds of apps you can sign up for that will track your spending. You could do it like how I like to do it, the old-fashioned way, and just, you know, keep track of those receipts and categorize them, put them into separate categories. You know, this one was for food, this one was for clothing, this one was for whatever the case may be. So keep track of your spending, and that way you can get ahead of things, and, you know, you get a better picture as far as, like, you know, I don't need to spend money on this or whatever. Tip number three is going to be save for retirement. Many Americans, there we go, talking about, you know, us as America, many Americans worry that they won't have enough money to even retire. I know that the way the world's going, Social Security, by the time I retire, probably isn't going to be around. If so, it's not going to be much to contribute. So with that being said, I had to find different avenues or find different routes to help save for when I do retire, whenever that may be. But for starters, man, it helps to start small. Save, you know, a little every month here and there. And as you go through or as you see your personal budget increasing, then you can add a little bit more to it, you know, as you can. But also, it's important to find or get plan accounts or retirement plan accounts, like 401k, you know, your employer typically matches. This is going to come from your employer, and they typically match what you put in. 403b plan, that's another plan that's going to come from your employer, depending on where you work, more or less. But that's another plan that's going to come from your employer, and they're going to match on that as well. And then you have IRAs, Roth IRAs, which is more something that you have to go out and get yourself. And I can go into these more in depth on another episode, but just to keep it brief, these few things, these few plans are great for contributing or starting your retirement plans. Our next tip is going to be save for emergencies. Putting money into savings separate from your retirement for emergencies is something that's very crucial and something that can pay off in the long run, especially if you have your own home, if you have children, whatever the case may be, saving for those unexpected life events can definitely help. You know, it's one thing to have your hot water heater go out and you don't have the money for it, and it's another to have, you know, something put away to where you can actually spend the money and get you another one, and you don't have to go without. But when it comes to saving money, man, that's a lot of our goals. That's kind of one thing. Working at a bank, I hear a lot of people say that they want to do. I want to be able to save money. And in doing that, in saving your money and saving for these emergencies, don't be afraid to look at interest rates. Don't be afraid to shop around for savings accounts that have a better interest rate. You know, you may have been with this bank for so long, you know, a certain amount of time, whatever the case may be, but this other bank has a better interest rate on their savings account. Don't be afraid to open up a savings account there. Although it may be little interest income, that little bit can add up and it can help you in the long run. Another thing in saving for those emergencies is add extra to it. You know, you get your taxes, you may want to go splurge or whatever the case may be. Take that extra money and just add it to your savings. Watch it build up. You know, you get a bonus at work, add it to your savings. You may not can put all of it in there, but consider putting quite a bit to grow your savings even further, man. That's just extra money that we don't get on a daily or monthly basis. So adding it to your savings can help a lot. And the more you have in there, if you have a good savings interest rate, the more you have in there, the more you're gonna get back for yourself. So, another way that can help you save for those emergencies or unexpected life events is buy what you need, not what you want. You know, a lot of us say that we need this, that, and the other when we actually don't, and we more or less just want it. I know I'm bad about this myself. I see a few things that I want, I'm just like, man, I want that. I'm gonna go get it. You know, so cut back on buying for your wants and just focus on buying for your needs, man. That can help get you a lot more money that you can add to those savings. Next is make it automatic. This is one thing, especially in the retirement. In the minority community, is setting up automatic transfers, man. I don't know what it is, but we do not like that. We do not like having that money automatically come out of our account. And it can be beneficial, though. You set up those automatic transfers. That way, you won't be tempted with having that money in your hand and it's like, I want to go buy one of those wants. And you go buy it instead of putting it in your savings, as opposed to having it to where it just automatically comes out of your check, like taxes, kind of. Have that money automatically transferred to your savings from your checking, and you'll be surprised at how fast your savings can grow doing that. Tip number five is going to be plan to pay off debt. You know, a lot of us get into debt, we buy certain things without having a plan or an idea of when we want to pay it off. You know, we get a car financed for 6 years, and that's kind of where we leave it. We don't have a plan to pay it off in three or whatever the case may be. But paying off debt helps you monitor your finances better and also helps reduce the anxiety and stress that comes along with money because, you know, you're having less debt, so you're able to save more and build up your finances and get closer to those savings goal that a lot of us have. And there's a few methods in paying off debt. One is called the snowball method, where you just pretty much take some debt with the lowest balance, lowest credit card balance, or lowest loan balance, whatever the case may be. You pay that off, and then the extra that you have from paying that off, you start applying that to the next smallest thing, your next smallest debt, and put that little extra sum towards your savings, sum towards that debt. Pay that off faster, and eventually, you know, you get to where you pay off all your debt. And that again, is called the snowball method. You're just slowly paying off the smallest balances as they come. The next is going to be called the avalanche method. This is focused on interest rate. And with this method, you take the loan that has the highest interest rate or the debt that has the highest interest rate, and you focus on trying to pay that off. And then the extra money that you have from that, it's a lot like the snowball method, but it's more interest rate focused than actual balance. So those two methods, man, can help you pay off debt faster. I know a lot of people are like, man, I'm never going to be debt free, but it is possible. It is a very attainable goal. Getting those cars paid off, getting those houses paid off. A lot of us here 30 years, and you know, I'll just pay it on in 30 years. No, you can pay it off. Think about car notes. Car notes typically range from about $300 to sometimes $700 a month. You get that car paid off, that's $700, $300 extra that you can start applying to your house, some to your house, some to your savings, whatever. But that's extra money that you can get back by paying that debt off. And again, man, that'll help you get to those savings goals that you're trying to reach. Those financial goals, that reducing stress, paying off a car note is going to reduce a lot of stress. Think about, you get your house paid off. That's going to reduce a lot of stress. That's one thing that you're not going to have to continue to worry about, is paying your house. You know, think of all the stress that can reduce. Tip number six is going to be establish good credit habits. This is one thing that we typically don't focus on just because a lot of us are stressed about our finances as it is, and we think, you know, can't pay this bill because I got to pay this one, whatever the case may be. But establishing good credit habits, man, and working towards good credit scores can improve our finances tremendously. Your credit score is more or less a reflection of how dependable you are. If you don't have a good credit score, then you're not viewed as somebody that's going to be dependable. And if you're not viewed as somebody that can be dependable, then it's going to affect the house that you're trying to get or renting an apartment, whatever, the car that you're trying to get, even the job that you're trying to get. You know, like I said, it's a snapshot, a reflection of how dependable we can be. And it sticks with us for a long time, and it can determine which way we go in life a lot of the time. But good ways to establish good credit habits are, like I said, paying those bills on time. If it hits 30 days, it's going to ding your credit. So getting those bills paid in a timely manner can help out a lot. Don't get close to your credit card limit. You know, you may have a $1,500 credit card limit, but you don't want your balance to be $1,450 or $1,300, whatever. You want it to be as small as possible. Not only is that eliminating some debt that's on you, but it's showing that you're not dependent, or you can actually afford the card that you have, more or less. So, next is going to be working on establishing loan credit history. If you're with a bank, get a few loans from that bank, try to stick with that bank. Having that relationship, paying off loans with that bank can go a long way. Credit cards, you pay that balance down to zero, you don't necessarily have to close that card. You may cut it up, throw it in the trash so that you don't spend on it anymore, but you don't have to close it if that balance is at zero. So that can help establish good credit history and can improve your credit score even more. And then regularly checking your credit report. You can get a credit report for free from all three credit bureaus once a year, and just regularly check that, go through it, make sure everything that's on there is something that you actually have or you bought. And you know, there's all types of banks now that have what they call, like, I know with Capital One, they have what they call CreditWise. That just kind of gives you an idea of what your credit score is now, anything new that's came on your credit, anything old that's dropped off. It's a good way to track your credit and see, you know, what's actually going on, and can help prevent identity theft. And identity theft is something that's very high right now, especially with technology, but also something that's very hard to recover from. So if you can keep checking your credit report, seeing what's going on with your credit, that's a good way to not only help you as far as establishing good credit habits and keeping your credit score improving, but can also help you prevent and catch identity theft. It's good to continue to look at your credit. Our last tip is going to be improve your money mindset. And no, that is not it is a plug on Mindset Go podcast, but I don't want to sound cliche with this. Improving your money mindset is just taking a more positive view on your finances. And when it comes to money management, you can't say that five times fast, for sure. But when it comes to money management, having a positive financial mindset can help you reach those goals that you want and help you grow financially just by keeping the sight of your goals, keeping that in sight and keeping that, you know, this is what I want to get to. I can't get there by, like, damn, I got to pay this, that, or I don't want to pay this, or I'm not going to pay this. Having a positive mindset around that can help you get to those goals. And really focus on the things that you can control, like repaying your debt on time, like how much you spend on food, or how many times you eat out, how many subscriptions you have that you don't need. Focus on those things and eliminating those things, and just keeping a positive outlook. You know, I got rid of this. Okay, I'm improving. I have a little bit more money. I can add it to this or that. Staying positive about it, man. And just really remembering that, like I said early on, man, 77% of Americans feel anxiety and stress when it comes to finances. You're not alone in this. You're not by yourself. So don't think just because somebody's driving this car or have this house or whatever that they're not worried about finances. I can guarantee they may be worried about it more than you are. So don't think about what other people are going through, but just remember you're not by yourself. You're not the only one that's worried and stressed about money management, how you're handling your finances and reaching those savings goals or whatever. Just keep working towards building your finances. Keep a positive outlook on it. And it'll come, man. Like you follow these 7 tips. Not saying that they're 100% effective, but you keep a positive mindset about it. Follow these 7 tips. Get your budget going. Save for emergencies. Get you some retirement plan going. Track your spending. Plan to pay off your debt and get those good credit habits going. And I guarantee you're going to start to feel better about your finances, and you're going to start to see a better outcome when it comes to your finances. So, yeah, man, I'm going to leave you like I always leave. If you found this helpful, if you think this may help somebody else, please like, share, and subscribe. We got big things coming for this podcast. I'm working on getting actual video going. I don't really like showing my face, but I've had a few people reach out about videos. They like to see stuff on YouTube. So we're getting video going. And, you know, you have any suggestions or anything, please don't be afraid to reach out on IG at MSGpod229 or at my email, which is MSGpod229@yahoo.com. This episode was actually a suggestion by one of our listeners, so I appreciate you for that. And, excuse me. Yeah, man, if you found this helpful or whatever, just continue to share, subscribe, pass the word, give me your suggestions, your feedback, whatever. It's all helpful, man. I appreciate all of it. And our next episode will probably further discuss finances. We may get into IRAs or 401k plans. I'm not entirely too sure just yet, but our next episode we are going to talk about finances and just how to improve those. And then of course we got more special guests coming up. So keep supporting, keep spreading the word, man. And I appreciate you guys. I catch you next episode.